what the Masudah Sharma has said until now is that people who really have the capability of delving into the parameters of Avodas Hashem, which we explained in detail last week, the difference between doing mitzvahs and doing Avoda, the Avoda being Yira Ava, the underlying totality of what Torah is in regards to a person's life. And that, by the way, there's a good remez to this idea in this week's Sedra, because it says that looking at tzitzis reminds you of all the mitzvahs. Right? Risa Moso Zachartim is called mitzvos Hashem. So it says that tzitzis equals 613. Right? The word tzitzis itself plus the eight knots and the five knots and eight strings comes out to 613. So the question obviously is, you don't have to remember 613 mitzvahs when you see the tzitzis. You just have to remember 612. Because the tzitzis is one of the mitzvahs. So why isn't the tzitzis only meramez on 612, not on 613? The answer is, it's not meramez on separate mitzvahs. It's meramez on the whole unit. The whole hekif. That's what you're supposed to remember. Not 613 separate mitzvahs. So the tzitzis is included in that whole unit. It doesn't help that it's separate.
Why do you need four times?
What?
Why do you need four times?
That's a good, that big. Wherever you look, you get the zeich. Okay. So he says that, what's it called, that very few people spend their time who have the capability on delving into this part of Yiddishkeit because they consider it self-understood. And you find that only the people who don't have the capability of delving into the other intricacies of halach or whatever spend their time on this. Until he said, if you see somebody who's really, you know, frum, you assume that he's probably weak-minded, and if he's medactic and all these things. And not only that, because they don't really understand how to delve into it properly, it becomes very distorted. And that's what we're up to now. The distortion of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem to be something other than it really is. Ad sheyidmu rov b'nei ha'adam, until most people who delve into these things think Shachasidus toli b'amiris mizmorim harbe. They think that Chasidus is saying a lot of mizmorim, right? Sitting all day and saying tillim. That's called Chasidus. Viduyim aruchim ma'od, and a lot of, what's it called, long confessions. Somos kashim, utfilas kerach v'shelet. And fasting a lot and immersing yourself in ice and in snow. Those are the Chasidus. And the idea being that Chasidus, we said, is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Here, the idea of Chasidus is that idea of Avodas Hashem, right? Of Bechol Drachecha Do'ehu, Kol Masecha Yu L'Shem Shomayim. And all of that is what he's talking about here. And the underpinnings of this is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Because that's Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomimach, Kiim L'Yira, and Yira includes Ava, because includes Yiras HaRomamus and Yiras HaOnish, and Ava is in between there. So people think that Avas Hashem is saying a lot of Mizmorim. That shows your Avas Hashem, saying Tillim all day. And Yiras Hashem is saying a bunch of confessions and fasting and immersing yourself in snow. That's Yiras Hashem. So that's why he mentions these two things, because those become the expressions of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem instead of their real expressions. Kulan dvarim asher ein haseichel noch bohem ve'ein hadas shokta. Now, two things. One is a person's seichel isn't at rest with these things. They're not logical things to do. And ein hadas shoketa. Okay? Seichel over here is intellect. These things are not intellectually sound, right? That this should be Avas Hashem, saying a bunch of Mizmorim all day, right? And Yiras Hashem should be toveling in snow, right? It's a very nice external manifestation, but that is not intellectually what Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And Das is the connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, what's it called, more emotionally. Emotional connection. right? Das is connecting what you know intellectually, lemaisa, putting it into practice. That's why Sukkos is the yontif of Das, because you put into practice all the concepts with the Esrog and Lulav and the Sukkah, whatever, that's Das. So,
you say the Seichel is the idea and Lev is the thought?
Yeah. Or it's more than only thought, but the application of the thought, of the idea. So lo nishkot means it's not at rest with this. It feels, what's it called? You don't feel close to God by toveling yourself in snow or saying long viduyim or even saying long mizmorim, right? And therefore, the seichel is more related to the yira part, and the yira and the ava, that's haskel, the yodea osi. Right, that the way of Haskel, of Ava and Yira, which eventually comes to Das, which is Dveikus, that's Avodas Hashem. What is Avodas Hashem? Ava and Yira, which leads you to a connection to God. So the Haskel, the Seichel part, is understanding properly the Ava and the Yira, and the Das part is then putting it into practice and having that tremendous Dveikus, that connection to Hashem. So this does not lead a person to Dveikus. Saying Mizmorim all day is a nice artificial manifestation, but it doesn't connect your neshama to the Ribono Shel Olam. And saying Viduyim, and what's it called, and toveling in the Shelig, it doesn't bring you to real Yiras Hashem, which is going to bring you to Dveikus. Right? It's a manifestation of fear, but that's not what Yiras Hashem really is. So that's what it's not. And that's unfortunately because most people who are not capable of fathoming what it really is are involved in it, so it gives a misconception, a distorted view of what Ava and Yira, which are supposed to lead to Dveikus, attachment to the Ribono Shel Olam, is really. V'chassidus ha'amiti, what is real chassidus? Hanirtze v'hanechmad, rochok mitzir sechlenu. And what real chassidus is, right, which is desirable, and very... nechmad, very proper, or two kinds of desire. One is nirtza mitzad, the person. That's what he said before. Because this person's seichel is not content with these distorted ideas of ava nira, nor is his das at rest with this, at peace. So nirtza is more something that is desirable intellectually. It's desirable. I have a rotzon, right, for this thing because it makes sense. It's desirable from my intellectual point. Nechmad is where you something that you see that you want to have a connection to. Okay, lo sachmod is I see something and somebody else's and I think I have a connection to it. The opposite of what the Ibn Ezra says when we speak about that Shabbos in the drasha of Vayimosu be'eretz chemda. They didn't consider Eretz Yisrael something chamud, something that had a connection to them. So nechmad means something that has a connection to you. Losachmod means don't look at somebody else's thing that has no connection to you as if it does have a connection to you. So the word chemda, taiva, ratzon, is where I want something and the ratzon starts with me. Intellectually, I want that thing. Chemda is where I want the thing because the thing itself is desirable. The thing itself has an attachment to me. Not that I want an attachment to it, but I think it has an attachment to me. That's nechmad. The thing itself is nechmad. Nirtza is where it's desirable to me. I want it. So one is more seichel, and the other one is more an attachment, more of an emotional attachment. So therefore, the real chassidus, which is nirtza and nechmad, the opposite of Dvarim asher ein haseichel noch bahem, the ein hadash shoketa. It's mamish the antithesis of what he said before, which is not the proper thing. Rochok mitzir sechlenu. That remains far from our understanding what it really is. Kized davar poshut milsa de loram yalei de inish lavadaitei. Because that's simple. That somebody thinks somebody doesn't think about, right? He doesn't put his mind to. He's not going to understand. It's not going to be on his mind. Something that you don't think is important to you. So you're going to miss the point completely. The Afal Pishikvar Kuim Belev Kolodam Hayosher Haskalosov Yisodosov, and even though in every straight person the foundations of these things are there, he understands, right, the foundations of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, but it's fine points unless you look into it investigate it, you're not going to know. Im lo yasuk bohem yira prato v'lo yakirin. If you do not investigate it, you'll see the details and you won't recognize them. You won't recognize them to be parts of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Yavar aleihem v'lo yargish bohem. You'll pass them by and you won't feel them. Again, same thing. One is talking about seichel, intellect, and the other one's talking about yargish. You won't feel them, right? You'll be intellectually separated from them, you won't understand them, and you'll be emotionally separated from them. You won't feel them. V'lo yira ki ein divrei achasidus v'nyoni ha'yira v'yav v'taris ha'lev dvorim mutboim ba'odam ad shelo yitztorchu en tzoyim l'knosom ela yimtzu osom b'nei ha'odam b'yasmam k'mo sheyimtzu kol t'noseyam ha'tivios k'shinla v'heketza ha'ro v'asova v'chol shar ha'tnuos ha'chakukos b'tivenu. And people will not understand that these things are not instinctive. Yira, Ava, Taras Halev, right, which is the foundation of Avodas Hashem, this attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom, in everything you do, it's not part of a person's instincts. It's not instinctive. It's something you have to learn. It's something that you have to investigate, something you have to make part of you. It's not something that's automatically part of you. And people think it's not like that. It's instinctive. So I don't have to do anything about it. It'll come by instinct. It doesn't. It doesn't come by instinct, not from an intellectual standpoint. So you'll miss what it's all about intellectually. And it doesn't come emotionally to you either. And therefore, it's possible it'll just pass over you and you won't realize that it's there. Not only that, but if you don't investigate it and seek it out and try to acquire it, there are plenty of things that will push it away from you and make it hard for you to acquire these things. Not only is it not instinctive, but you're going to be far away from it because there are things that will push these things away from you if you don't work on acquiring them. Lo yachsuru drochim laharchik matzideim. Right? If you don't look for ways to push away the things that will prevent you from getting these things, that's what's going to happen. In Cain Eifo, Eich lo yitztorech lahotzi zman ala iyun hazeh ledas amitas advorim. Therefore, how could a person not spend time in investigating these things which are the basics of what a person's here in this world for? The basics of Torah. He has to learn how to acquire them and to remain with them. L'kaima means to remain with them. If they should be mekuyim, they should have some kind of lasting effect. You can acquire things, but then you have to learn how to hold on to them. And that's the idea of mi yale b'har Hashem u'mi yokum b'mkom kodesho. You can get up to the top of the mountain, but you have to know how to stay there. So there's more than just Yale, there's also Yokum, and that's what he's talking about here, Lekaimum. Me'ayim tovu ha-chokma zos b'lev odem lo yivachshem. This chokma is not going to come to the person. The intellectual understanding of Ava, Yira, and Tveikus is not going to come to a person unless he actively pursues it, investigates it, and it's not going to make an impression on him emotionally unless he gets involved in it. Okay. The basic idea here, right, which I'm going to mention, and then I'll open it up to whatever. The basic idea here is the concept that Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Yoda Shor Konehu, V'chamor Evus Ba'alov, Yisrael Lo Yoda Ami Lo Hisbonon, which means the following. Animals function on instinct. A shor knows instinctively who its owner is. And a chamor may not instinctively know who its owner is, but it knows who feeds it. It knows where its feed bag is. That much instinct it has. But the Jewish people did not even have these simple, basic ideas that an animal has instinctively because they didn't think. What is instinctive to an animal is not necessarily instinctive to a human being because a human being was given seichel. So an animal doesn't have seichel. The Rabbanu Shalom did him a favor and put in his instinct things that he needs to be able to exist. By a person who is a Baal Bechira, and has seichel, The Rabban Shalom didn't put these things in his instinct. He expects him to get them on his own. So what is instinctive, even to animals, is not necessarily going to be understood by human beings unless they look into it, unless they're misboning. And the simplest things miss a person if you're, what's it called, if you are not not misboning. Right? One of the examples to that is Bilam. Right? Bilam encounters something that never happened in history before or after. An animal talked. And he talks back to the animal as if it's his friend. He's not he's nonplussed by the thing because he didn't think into it. Right? In fact, the Chafetz Chaim says that was the underlying chisaron of Bilam. He had the same exact potential as Moshe Rabbeinu, and he also spoke to God. But he never thought into it. He said it's hinted to in the fact that in Parshas Balak there are no paragraphs, no samachs and peis, stumas and psuchos. It's all run on. The psuchos and stumas were given for Moshe Rabbeinu to think and review what he was told. That means that Bilam never thought and reviewed what he was told. He just went on with it. And if you don't think into things and investigate them, the greatest things just pass you by. They won't make any impression on you, you won't really understand them, and you'll never be able to integrate them. And that was Bilam. I have a riot to that Chofetz Chaim from a Pasuk in Shmos, in Vo'eru. It says by Makas Borod that Hayore Estvar Hashem, Moshe warned them, if you leave your cattle and slaves out in the field, they're going to be killed. Bring them in the house. So the Pasuk says, Hayore Estvar Hashem, Heinis Es Avod Av Yes Mikneo Min Asodeh. The people who feared God and understood that Moshe means business, they brought their cattle and their slaves inside, and they were saved. And the one who didn't put his heart to it, right, he left his animals and his slaves outside, and they got killed. The Medrash comments on that, according to one opinion, Eov lived in the time of Moshe and Paro. He was an advisor to Paro. And therefore, what's it called? Eov was called the Yorei Estvar Hashem. He brought his slaves and his cattle inside. Vasher lo sam libo, and the one who didn't pay attention was Bilam. He also was an advisor to Paro. Doesn't say he wasn't a Yirei Shemayim. Doesn't say Asher lo Yorei Es Hashem. The Bilam's problem wasn't that he wasn't a Yirei Shemayim. The problem is he didn't take anything to heart. He never thought into anything. Memeli wasn't a Yirei Shemayim. Asher lo sam libo, just like the Chafetz Chaim says. His problem was he didn't take anything to heart. He didn't think into anything. Yeah.
I just add something to that?
Yeah.
I don't have enough time tonight. It still would seem to be very difficult to understand how it could be that any person could not be moved by a talking animal. So no matter how much they thought or didn't think. So I would sort of look at it this way, that Bilam being Navi was on a very high degree. And as such, it was difficult for him to determine what was real and what is not real. He was on such a level that it was difficult for him to understand that what he should take as being outside the norm, what shouldn't be outside the norm. Because he understood that it didn't have to be a norm. He was on that higher level. So that in that way, he didn't use his lathe. But it's not that he didn't. Otherwise, how could it be he wouldn't understand?
So we'll put the two things together. In other words, that. Bilam, there's two things that people can be affected by. One is something astounding. Or because you realize that somebody's trying to get a message across to you and it hits home. The astounding thing, you're right. Most people, Taka, would have been just astounded. They may not have taken any lesson from it. They may have, gone on, been astounded and go on. But astounding is not going to affect Bilam because he's on a level, right? So what should have affected him? The newness of something that he should have thought into. That's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu. Many people saw the burning bush, and they passed by, and they said, wow, that's really an astounding sight. But they didn't realize that they have to think into it, so what does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu saw Liros. He didn't just look at it from the thing and say, hey, that's astounding. But he stopped, and he began to think, what does it mean? Why is this happening? That's the difference. So the astounding part, you're right. Right, that didn't affect Bilam because he was on too high of a level to be astounded by these things. But what should have affected him is, okay, there's something here that's astounding. I'm not astounded by it, but what's it mean? Why is this happening? Something that's out of the ordinary. And that he didn't do. That's Asher Lo Sam Libo. Yeah, good. It's a mashlim, the idea. Yes?
And
There's two levels. There's one attaining a certain thing, right? You acquire a certain midah, whatever. But then there's an idea of holding on to it. You can acquire it and lose it very quickly. So what he says over here is two things. That one is you need a lot of investigation and thought to acquire Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and then you need a tremendous amount of thought afterwards to know how to hold on to it and not lose it. What?
Perseverance?
It's not only perseverance. It's to hold on to something that if you get it and you don't know how to hold on to it, you lose it. Many people reach madrigas, but they're temporary. And then they fall down from those madrigas.
So how do you hold on to it?
Well, that's the whole sefer here is going to speak how to be kona these things and how to hold on to them. But you need two things. You need how to acquire them to begin with, and then a program for holding on to them too. That's
one other thing. I don't want to take away from the time.
It's okay. We're not in a rush here.
We're
not finishing the sefer tonight.
Starting that down here. This whole Indian here of lev and versus sefer. The Rav mentioned the Loya Gishbam. I once looked into the word Regesh, and until very recent times, since the founding of Ivrit, Regesh really didn't mean emotion or feeling. Regesh, the Vedya Elokim Alech Beragesh, doesn't mean with feeling. It means all the
means to be moved.
No, in Persian say it's always it means to a large group. You move by group by the fact it's a large group of people. Ragesh refers to a large group of people. But Regesh really didn't refer to emotion in that sense. I think the word emotion is a translation as a westernized term. So I wanted to say as well that lev, the word lev, when we say heart, we tend to associate that with hearts, like Valentine's Day. But
no, it's bina is in the heart too.
The heart, the Ibn Ezra says, the heart is the seichel also.
Right, it's a different kind of seichel though.
So it's difficult to understand. I would like a better understanding of what we mean. But since he says, for example, ha-chokhma hazos, the leiv ha-adam, the chokhma is in the leiv ha-adam.
Right, there's two different kinds of chokhma. There's bina, which is mostly in the belief. The same belief, beinu lehovin. And then there's what's it called, haskil. That's also das is more in the mind, whatever that means. The idea is the following: that there's an analytical kind of intellect, right? Very objective, analytical, intellectual kind of knowledge. That's related to the head. And then there's like an emotional sensitivity to that knowledge, not emotion. We're not talking about crying in hearts. We're talking about an intuitive sensitivity to those facts. It's not objective. It's more subjective. That's why it becomes in the heart. It's more something the person feels intuitively, right? And not understands intellectually, but it's also a perception. It's a perception that comes by a subjective, intuitive feeling. That's what's in the heart. It's not emotion. It's not crying, laughing, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an understanding. But it's a more intuitive, subjective understanding of the facts and understanding what their implications are. That's what bina is, building on the facts. And das, or chokhmah, is ascertaining what the facts are. That's analytical. It's very objective. That's a analysis of data to come to facts. That is one kind of chokhmah. And then there's chokhmas halev, where a person has a certain intuition that he is sensitive. That's just a sensitivity to the meaning and implication of those facts. It's very not analytical. It's more intuitive. But it's a sensitivity to the facts. The other one is the analysis of the facts. That's a difference. Okay. Just make a note for myself over here. Thank you. So that's the concept, that even what is instinctive to an animal, by a human being, is not instinctive. And unless a person thinks, he's going to overlook and miss being sensitive to a lot of obvious things. That's bottom line what he's saying here. The kivan shekvaris ames etzel kol chacham sorech temimus ha'avoda v'cholvas taharosa v'nikyona, right? And it's obvious, right, to anybody who thinks, okay, that when you serve Hashem, it has to be complete, and it has to be pure, and it has to be clean. He wants to say the difference between pure and clean. Shezuvas eina nirtzeis vadai klau. Now these are harsh words. Without it being clean and pure and complete, it's not worth a penny. It's not desirable at all. Ela nimeses mitueves. It is disgusting and abominable. Okay, now, you can't go on, because it sounds like it's either all or nothing. That if your Avodas Hashem is not clean, pure, and the way he explains clean and pure later on, clean is there's no negatives there. There's no things that are, you're serving the Rabban Hashem, but you're doing it for ulterior motives that are negative motives. Tahara is where your motives are totally pure. There's not even any selfish kind of things there. That's Tahara. Tahara is more positive things, and Nikayin is from negative things. Okay? And if you don't have a complete, perfect Avodas Hashem, if there's mixed in negatives, right, or missing positives in your L'shem Shamayim, then it's not worth anything. Now, that's not true. Mito Shalo L'shma Bo L'shma. Right, there's a Gemara in Makkos that says, "Call Ose Eile Lo Yomut Liolam. Whoever does these things will never be moved." Right? It doesn't say "Call Eile." The Gemara says, "It says Eile. Anything, whatever you do, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapes Char Kol Beri. Whatever you do, you get rewarded for it. Right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not all or nothing. And not only that, he himself says later on in the Midah of Tahara. Where is it? I have it written down here somewhere. Peretz Zion. He says the following. In the Midah of Tahara, he says, Ve'eneni omer, shemashehu zula zeh yenitcha legamre. He's expressing about serving God with purity. Purity of thought, right? Everything is l'shem shamayim. Okay, he says, I don't mean to say that if it's not 100% pure, that it's pushed away completely. It's worthless. You get rewarded for whatever you do. Right? Even if you do a little bit, you get rewarded for that little bit you did. God pays reward for anything you do, even if it's not perfect. I'm talking about it's not perfect. It's lacking perfection. But here he says just the opposite. Not least is it if it's not perfect and it's not pure and it's not clean, then it's not desirable at all, and it is, what's it called, abominable and disgusting. Now, those are pretty harsh words, and it seems to contradict completely what he said before. And besides that, anybody gives up hope, because not too many people are going to reach that perfection, right, that he's speaking about. So if you're not going to be perfect, then it's worthless. It's not, ain't no nirtzeis klal. And it's nimesis mitu'eves, then what's the word? What's the use? So we have two problems here. One is the concept doesn't seem to be true. Right? The Gemara says that whatever you do, you'll get rewarded for. Right? Even that we find Rishoyim that did little things, Nebuchadnezzar, or you took four steps in the honor of the Rabban Shalom, for that he got a reward. Even though 99% is a Rosh HaGomer. We find other things. Izevel. Right, you can't get worse than Izevel. Right, she's, but because she used to dance for Chasson and Kala, when the dogs ate her body, they didn't eat her hands and feet. She got a schar, whatever the mile of that was. Okay, but something. It's not that it ain't no nirtzeis klal. It's not worth anything. So we don't have a thing of that's black and white. You know, it's either everything or nothing. And he himself says that later on. So what's he mean over here? So I have a whole ma'arocha, but I'm not going to attempt to even start it. So you have a week to think. Right? What exactly is he talking about over here? And I'm telling you for sure it's not, right? Just, I want you to come back next week. And if you think that, you know, it's either all or nothing, you forget about it altogether, then forget it. That's not the case. What he says later on is true. What he says here is also true. And if you understand it properly, there's absolutely no contradiction. You just need a concept that I will introduce to you, and it'll make all then all make sense. But there's a certain concept here that will make it make sense. On the surface, it seems totally contradictory. So you have a week to think about it.
Need to know the need to.
No, in other words, you have to have kavana for the end result.
Know
no.
that you need to get that point.
That's not what I'm going to say, but there's something to that. There's an idea of mitos shelo lishma ba lishma only if you intend in the end you want lishma. But if you don't want the lishma, you want to stay at shelo lishma, then yes, then that's negative. That's not what I think he's saying, because that's pretty strong for mituav, nimas, or whatever. But yeah, there is you could understand this partially at least with what you're saying. But I'm going to say something completely different.
What's the difference between
Tmimus and Tmimus means the perfection of Avodas Hashem includes Ava and Yira. The Ava part is the Tahara, and the Yira part is the Nikias. As we said before, he said Tmimus Avoda is a combination of Ava and Yira. Perfect Ava is what's called Tahara, and perfect Yira is what's called Nikias. All right, there's at least a whole shiur worth just on this point, but I'm not going to say it in 2 minutes. We'll spend the next shiur discussing, because it's very important to know that Yiddishkeit is not all or nothing, and yet there's something very important about trying to do as much as you can, because either way it's negative. If you think it's all or nothing, then what's going to mean you is then it's nothing, because I can't do all. And if you think that anything is okay, then you have no incentive to want to do more. So there's got to be some explanation that makes both of them important, and that's what I'm going to mention.